Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Here Be Monsters. I'm Jack Jodell of the Saturday Afternoon Post blog, and I'm here with Gwendolyn Berry, who has a new global myth and also contributes quite heavily to Roundtree 7, which incidentally is a sponsor of the show, Roundtree 7 blog, and also her company, Daughters of Isis. And we're here today to discuss a number of different things of a progressive nature. And I'm going to start off by telling you it is unbelievably warm. I'm up in Minneapolis. Gwen is down in Florida, of course. But in Minneapolis, it's flirting with 70 above today, and that's unheard of for March 10th, or March 11th, I guess it is. And they say the forecast is to be above normal or near normal for much of the next 2 to 3 weeks, which means that I think for all practical purposes, spring has sprung. Now, the trees aren't quite budding yet, but I think by with the temperature is supposed to hit 71 on Friday, this upcoming Friday, I think we're going to see an early spring, and I think it's just going to continue. And I hope it doesn't lead to one of those unbearably hot, humid summers that we can occasionally have up here in Minnesota. But at any rate, that's so much for global warming being a liberal myth to support Al Gore. You know, what a bunch of garbage that's turning out to be.
Agreeable there with you.
Oh,
boy.
Man, you bet. Yeah, it's all across the country, of course. We've seen the a lot of things that are caused primarily by climate change. I mean, we're seeing unprecedented high temperatures in throughout most of the year. We're seeing huge storms, all kinds of tornadoes happening in February, of all things, and in March. And,
A
little bit early for tornadoes. But they're happening,
they
and it's our fault. You know?
Yeah. I'm reminded that we get uncharacteristically high tides down here, Jack, in the summer. For some reason, we're getting them, and
you never used to.
No, and I'm saying, well, perhaps it's because ice is melting.
Yeah, up in the polar ice caps, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's
more evidence, but of course, if you're a diehard, dyed-in-the-wool conservative, you ignore all that, and it's just a trend. Yeah, a trend, we know better than that. But, they have a habit of living in a world of unreality and of their own choosing, which is, abnormal, let's face it.
That's really quite true. I put up on the... On our show blog, the little thing that you send out that says the show is coming on, that we were going to talk about two things, well, three things. Actually, did you read about the soldier going nuts in Afghanistan?
In Afghanistan. Yeah, that was, part of it's the pressure, but, it's inexcusable what he did. Inexcusable. And, especially at this point in time with the Quran having just been burned and all the
right.
trouble that caused a few weeks back. And now to have this incident happen, I mean, what is wrong over there? What is wrong with our military that it's causing such breakdowns in soldiers' behavior? Is it our people? I don't think so. I think it's the military's, I don't know. They've changed since World War II, that's for damn sure. And it's not
remember,
the same military.
Do you remember, Jack, how, during Vietnam, drugs became such a thing because it was so easy for them to get them?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I kind of looked at this and wondered, excuse me for my cold.
That's okay,
is it possible? I mean, that's Opium City out there. Is our military experimenting? Is that what's happening? Because if it isn't, what's happening? If our military is not just out there experimenting, perhaps with poppies,
mm-hmm.
Or heroin, then we've got a real problem. Of course,
we
the problem
do.
Is being there in the first place. But
This
is, and I'm wondering, how is this the president going to own this? Because it belongs to him.
Well, you know, to his credit, he got us out of Iraq, but way too late. But, you know, let's face it. Now, we had some justification for attacking the Taliban early on in 2001. And, you know, here it is 2012, and we're still over there? Give me a break. You know, get the job done and get the hell out. The people don't want us there. You know, we don't necessarily have to be there. We can't be nation builders. We don't have it in our budget, first of all, and secondly, it's just not a good thing to do. You know, these people have been fighting for centuries. They're not going to stop just because we build a road. You know, that's gross oversimplification, but I think you get my drift.
The truth is that we don't belong over there.
Right.
The reason that we're supposed to be there is just a tool, a political tool, like it was for the Bush administration. It's a political tool now for the Obama administration to do things. Like, did you see Thursday what Obama signed into law? I mean, that terrible thing that came out of the Congress that those bastards put together to take, and I want to send a large hello out to Al Osari, R. Oso. He's in the chat room.
Hi, Oso.
And he said it's likely he was on drugs as the 9/11 hijackers were on drugs. Obvious answer is the guy is a terrorist, and he's wearing a United States uniform, but also has a point. I've forgotten where I was going with the other
comment. You know, what Obama did, Obama has had a real mixed record, let's be honest about this. On some legislation, he's been very progressive. On others, he's just been a major disappointment. I mean, the conduct of the war is one thing. I mean, he got the war finished finally after all that time, but... Yeah, the one war in Iraq, that is, and then, but he didn't close down Guantanamo, even though there had been precedents set where they did try terrorists in New York City under both the Clinton and the Bush administrations without incident. He bowed to pressure from the right wing and all this crap about terrorists on the streets of our city and all this nonsense that they were talking about. Like most of their stuff is nonsense anyway. But he bowed to it and just decided to keep Guantanamo open and maybe people wouldn't notice anymore. Well, I've noticed and everybody's noticed. We know it's open. We know it should be closed. It's just, you know, you can't rendition people. And that's another thing. They're continuing renditioning. They're not torturing anymore, which is good. But it's, you know, how good is it?
You don't know what to think because...
Yeah, you don't know what to believe.
You're just. And then to have the president go ahead and sign this asinine legislation that says that your friends and mine and even myself, if I'm down at Bryant Park where we've pulled back to with our group here, which is just down the street from me over on the water, if there's a politician in a bank a block away doing business, and we're out there protesting or having an Occupy meeting or, you know, whatever we're doing, the possibility of us being jailed for that, I mean, NDAA was pretty awful to begin with.
And you're jailed indefinitely without any charges being made. I mean,
corpus,
that's outrageous.
No habeas corpus.
Outrageous. We've had the writ of habeas corpus since 1215. In the Western world, and now all of a sudden, because of Bush and Cheney and Obama's continued it onward, and the conservative Republicans who are paranoid to begin with, we've discarded it and we've suspended it. Give me a break. That is disgusting.
I was watching that movie on HBO this morning. I fell asleep last night, but I TiVo'd it, and Steve Schmidt apparently was trying to capture Palin's attention, and he quoted to her. He said, Reagan said that America is always just a generation away from losing its freedom. Mm-hmm. Well, we've lost our freedom, Jack.
We have, that's right.
We've lost it under the first African-American president.
And a Democrat who was supposedly a progressive and wasn't.
Right.
You know, it's disgusting.
I have to tell you, the DCCC, or whatever, the Democrats, Democratic Party, mm-hmm. which is under the leadership of
Debbie
Wasserman
Schultz,
who is, mm-hmm. I worked with her the last time out. She's down here in my territory, and she just made a commercial for the DCCC about mm-hmm. Small business people. And I am outraged that these folks are putting a commercial out there to encourage folks to understand that the Obama administration has been good to the Small Business Administration and the small businessman who is the backbone of industry in this country. That's the illusion that they are putting out there.
Well, there's a little tiny bit of amount to truth to that, but we'll come to that later. But he's been a hell of a lot more friendly to Wall Street and instead of Main Street. We need attention to Main Street. You know?
Well, Main Street is not what politicians in this country mean when they talk about small business. To politicians in this country,
small business is huge.
Grosses at least $500,000 a year and has 50 employees, and that's the dingle dangle at the bottom of the pool.
Right,
and
right.
The truth is that small business to you and me, what they want people to think small business is what, you know, we call mom and pop. It's like
right.
myself. I
Much
might
smaller.
Have one. Yeah, one employee, two or three. It's
yeah.
like the little shops on the street down there, and
yeah.
that are employing one or two. And
it's
let me
self-sustaining, barely on a thread.
And Obama sold out to the medical industry.
Oh yeah.
To keep you know, to ransom.
Yeah.
What we get as
yep.
far as our growth, he wants to ransom that to the goddamn medical industry, to these no good sons of bitches that are just pushing pills
yeah.
and treating symptoms and
right.
not really healing people. I don't mean to go off like that. Sorry.
No,
about
I don't blame
that.
You. Well, it's infuriating. It really is, because the promise was different, and while he never overtly came out and said, "I'm solidly behind a public option here," he flirted with it and he suggested it. But then when the heat became too great and people raised hell about it, the wrong kind of people, all the special interests in the health insurance companies, and they started running their flooding the air with TV ads against
yeah.
him and against his stand. Then he went backpedaled, and then he became the insurance company's best friend, because he made it be something that people had to have. It had to be mandated, and it had to be you had to have it, and there was no public option anymore. That was out the window.
Well,
and
you
know,
they tell you you can't be put in jail for it or anything like that. If you can't afford it, there's another route.
Right.
That's an out-and-out lie. I'm finding out from the bookkeepers that an out-and-out lie.
Right.
If I don't come up with what I need as
mm-hmm.
the only employee to pay off whatever the, what do you call it, whatever they want to charge me for the loan coverage
right.
that I have to take. If I don't come up with it, I'll get fined. And
I know.
If I don't pay the fines, they will
right.
accrue interest. And if I
so, in effect,
all he's really done
is buy extra customers for the insurance companies. And the only trade-off has been now the insurance company can't say no to you anymore. Well, they don't have to say no, because now a lot of people that just didn't carry insurance have to have it.
That's not true either. They can say, under their auspicious rules now, they still have a lot of elasticity to say, oh, well, we can't cover that because it's not proven. They can
right.
pull that old friggin' hat out of the bag. And,
yeah.
you know, they're getting caught. at Push and Pills, my God, here locally. They what they did was here locally. I don't know if anybody else has basically had this happen in their neighborhood, but here in Palm Beach County, Walgreens store got a shipment from, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the medical industry, the company, the manufacturer, but they were supposed to be putting out fluoride pills for children, okay? Fluoride vitamins, but it's a prescription, of course, of course.
Vitamins with fluoride in it, okay.
Yeah, and it actually turned out that what was going on, because some kids got sick, that they were giving them cancer treatment pills that were like the precursor to chemotherapy to children, to children under 10.
Yeah,
and
terrible.
If there is, you know, somebody better get onto the phone to Aaron Brockovich, is what I say.
Yeah,
says me.
But
when I heard that, it turned my stomach, and all I could think was, you know, what about, you know, they were talking about the mix-up, the apology from the company, but they were not addressing the situation on the ground where what's going to happen to these families, and they didn't say whether any of the children had been maimed or hurt or whatever by it.
And once again, the distributor, the dispensing agent, the manufacturer is going to walk away scot-free without any problem or a damn small one, just like BP got slapped on the hand for polluting the Gulf the way they did. And they lie on their television ads about how much they're doing and how everything's back to normal. And what a bunch of liars.
It's quite true. I've been talking to Cherie Foylan about radio time with a couple of the gals from Coastal Warriors, so we can get some constant information flow out about what's going on in, you know, and good friend Anita, Anita Stewart, is working with Tricia Springstead nowadays to get some biodiversity action going on down there. I wonder if you heard about Doonesbury. Do you like Gary Trudeau? Do you like
Doonesbury? Yeah, you know, my local newspaper doesn't carry him any longer, which is too bad. But I used to read him all the time, especially in the 70s. He's been around a long time.
Yeah, he has. He came up. He was a 60s kid. But he actually has my undying appreciation and loyalty right now. This week, he's gone in and he's tangling assholes with publishers and saying, listen, this is the way the cartoon is going to be put out in the next couple of weeks, and if you're not going to publish me, fine. I think you'll be sorry, though, because I think it's going to sell a lot of papers, which, you know, and I know, they need the sales. But here's the gig. Doonesbury is calling the abortion law in Texas rape. He's going to debut an abortion storyline next week with a particular focus on the Texas law requiring pregnant women to receive a transvaginal ultrasound and then wait 24 hours before having an abortion. This is Texas's HB 15 law that has just been enacted.
They'll do anything they can to stop abortion. Now, I don't like abortion. I believe in when it's abortion strictly by demand and by desire only, I believe it's an abrogation of individual responsibility. But it is that individual's right to make that decision, period. No argument. That's the way it is. And you know what? These guys are trying every trick in the book to destroy... First of all, destroy that right, but also to dissuade people from even taking it. Any way they can do it to harass them and make it unpleasant for them. You know, it's crazy.
Well, it's about making women chattel again.
Exactly.
And my mother's mother is whispering in my ear right now a very large fuck you. to the male population of GOP. But the World Health Organization, I tell you, Jack, they define rape as, and I quote, physically forced or otherwise coerced penetration, even if slight, of the vulva or the anus, or using a penis or other body parts or an object, unquote.
Right.
I'm sorry if that made the guys uncomfortable, but that's what it is.
Well, deal with it, guys.
Tell me the difference. You tell me the difference. So some papers are going to opt not to run the strip, but they're going to lose sales, I can guarantee you, because I'm going to be buying it so I can frame it.
that's supposed to debut tomorrow?
This week.
This week, it's
his strip, you know. In his interview, okay? Basically, the storyline involves a woman going in for an abortion and being sent to what they call the shaming room, where she's asked, do your parents know you're a slut?
Oh, yeah.
And once there, now this is the cartoon, once there, the woman endures a transvaginal ultrasound with the doctor saying, by the authority invested in me, by the GOP base, IV rape. And I think it's perfect. I think it's the right thing to do because political cartoons have a way of packing a punch. Just ask, what's his name? Oh, God, I had that in my head and then it left. Trudeau is the feminazi of the week, you know. He stands behind his storyline and acknowledges that he knew that some papers, they said ignoring the abortion debate would be comedy malpractice, which I thought was interesting.
Interesting,
and he goes on to explain why he felt comfortable calling the mandatory transvaginal ultrasound rape. Well, you know what? It is. And if you've noticed, guys like Rush Limbaugh, who they're talking about on Facebook still, the rest of these characters, have you noticed how they want to see videos of sex put up?
They're crazy. They're perverted idiots.
Rape is a number. Well, there's something repressive going on here.
Exactly.
There is something wrong with this. There is a deliberate attack on women that is obvious and very subtle at the same time. And women have to raise up about it. There's, you know, Doc Woody is part of the Worldwide Hippies, and he posts on our page there on Facebook quite a bit. And this week he posted a piece that saying that advertisers fleeing Limbaugh's rhetorical excrescences, which I think means the shit coming out of his mouth, does not betoken any impending danger to Russia's profusion of the market. There's lots of advertisers.
While we're on that topic, I want to just diverge for one moment. I learned this past week, Media Matters has been kind of monitoring this situation regarding the people that weren't going to advertise with Limbaugh, and now it's up to 50. It's up to 50. I mean, that's incredible. People that will not advertise on his show.
I know. It's really... It's
last week
really,
it was 5. Now it's up to 50. That's fabulous.
It's a lot, but like he pointed out on his show and how, you know, Woody has been putting it and a couple of other guys... Boy, I'm sorry, Jack. I really do have a cold.
That's okay. Go ahead.
The fact that he's got like 18,000 people who pay to advertise on his show. Well, that encompasses a bunch of little locals and a huge market for Clear Channel.
Yeah.
But AOL really, you know, and listen, any poor fool that's still using AOL to get on the online, that's pretty sad to begin with.
Yeah, they've pretty well...
they have really cut the string, and a lot of the big major ones did. So what happened this week, I guess, was that Mr. Limbaugh's show had 5 minutes of dead air.
Great.
5 minutes of dead air.
As far as I'm concerned, the whole show is dead air. But it's glad that there was nothing on there, nothing to fill. That was great.
Good Lord. I mean,
that's obviously great. Yep.
That's a lot of crap. There was another thing that came up, and I spent Friday doing a pro and con because I took at face value this video that's gone kind of viral, Coney 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And almost immediately popped up a lot of adversity to it. And while I've kept my eye on it and I've published and updated on a post I did on Roundtree, basically this guy, Jason Russell, who has a group called the Invisible Children, put together a slick video that is – sort of emotionally manipulative if it stretches the facts. And it did embellish. And I, when I first did it, I thought I did my due diligence on it. But I found, finally, someone put up a post by a Ugandan lady who said, you know, these people may be very innocently unaware, but we have bigger issues. And it takes away from what I finally got behind was it takes away from, it makes it a single story. And it's a much larger story than that.
Mm-hmm.
The Coney 2012, on the face of it, asked everybody to make Joseph Coney, the guy who had the army in Uganda that hijacked and kidnapped children. And made them into murderers for his gain and cause. They're looking to bring him to justice in the international courts. Well, he hasn't been doing that in Uganda since 2006. He's been sort of chased into the bush of the Congo, and he just does certain raids. And none of that neglects the fact that this guy is horrifically evil needs to be brought to justice. But
absolutely.
Apparently the video was I took it for face value, then I did some research, but I didn't do enough. And then I found, finally, instead of just a bunch of condescending, you know, cynicism, out there about it, I did find something that I could get my teeth into, and it was this Rosebel Kagmeier, who is a writer in Uganda, and she has a blog. It's called Rosebel's Blog, R-O-S-E-B-E-L-L. It's her blog, and if you Google it, you'll find her. And she put it into a wonderful perspective. She said, you know, it's about the larger story. It's not just about bringing Mr. Coney to justice. It's about what is really going on in Uganda. And, you know, this is a country that, mind you, I self-identify, Jack, as bisexual, and it's a country I walk into, I get put on death row, you know?
Isn't that something?
It's against the law. I mean, I don't self-identify as much of anything anymore except hard working. But the thing is, I could be, from my past, I could be, you know, accused of being homosexual, and that would put me on death row. And you know what? She brought to bear, I've read a lot of her blogs and posts, and what she brought to bear, and we all, I think you'll remember how Rachel Maddow brought the K Street people, was it the
exposed
K Street
them.
People, to, expose them for their influence in Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
To bring homosexuality to such a horrific crime.
Yeah, exactly. Death penalty and everything, that's right.
Yeah, and she was saying, and all of these other issues, and yet at the same time, she was saying, you know, we have school, we
I
have.
I think that was C Street rather
than
K Street. K Street's
Street.
is the lobbying, you know, mecca, but the C Street is where the housing that they all shared together, all those congressmen.
Yeah,
C Street. Okay.
From the family. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
And,
right.
And basically, what it boils down to is that this Coney 2012 fame is a flame war now on the net. But I will say this: one of the other points I was trying to make with my post is, in 13 short months since Mohamed Bouazizi in Tunisia, look what kind of a tool we have created as a gathering of people who are, I would call us all Occupy, I would call us all family.
Yeah.
These people across borders, the social action has come to its, you know,
well, it swept across Northern Africa. It got rid of Gaddafi. Yeah. It deposed Mubarak. It's wreaked havoc all over to the old order, all throughout the Middle East. There's still stuff going on in Bahrain and even occasional outbreaks in Saudi Arabia. And it's happening here in the streets of our cities. It's all over the world.
Oh, yeah. Look
Europe,
how it has changed
Greece,
the political conversation. Yeah, Greece,
oh, yeah.
Spain, Portugal, all of this major austerity movement by the conservatives in Europe who are working under the guises of
International Money Fund or Monetary Fund.
Yeah, IMF, yeah.
World Bank,
And it's conservatism, like the Koch brothers and the conservatism here. You know, it's incredible, but
it's piggish, mad people trying to control everybody else for their own benefit.
It really does seem that way, doesn't it? It really does seem.
It doesn't
way.
Seem it. It is. That's what it is. It's
well,
insane.
And I'm trying. I keep thinking for myself. You know, we need a huge bulletin board where we can put the web up and connect the dots on this bank to that bank to this family to that family and show, because really there's much more going on here than even, and you and I are pretty well informed, but there's much more going on that we're not seeing.
We don't have all the knowledge we need. It's out there. We've just got to find it, and we're going to dedicate ourselves over the next period of time, whether it's a year or 2 years or 5 years, whatever it takes, we're going to expose all this stuff. And there's been a lot of things that have been brought to light lately. You know, my little piece on Alec got the ball rolling earlier this year. I know a lot of people didn't even know about the existence of Alec. What a terrible organization that is. And, you know, bit here, there, a little bit there. Little bit by little bit, knowledge is power, and it's enlightenment.
It
and that's most, what we've got to keep working on.
It most certainly is. You know, the tar sands Keystone pipeline project is moving forward. And
sneakily, no.
There was an incident where Native Americans stopped some trucks going through at, I think it was Pine Ridge. But I have a little piece of audio to play concerning this. And I'm looking for it here. A Lakota grandmother actually stepped up, and there was a video camera going. And
great.
Take a listen to this.
Oh, great.
$100,000 that they sneak into Indian country, and our tribe and Rosebud both are against tar sands and the pipeline. But they're trying to sneak through Indian reservations so they don't have to pay that $100,000 to the state of South Dakota. But both Pine Ridge and Rosebud and Eagle View are all against the tar sands and the pipeline. So they're trying to sneak through the reservations to get out of paying that fee. So they need to turn around and go back. and get back on that interstate and pay the state of South Dakota if that's what they're trying to get out of.
Why are they coming? This is our reservation.
Yeah.
And this is our community. And look at 300 and some children over there. And maybe 1,000 people over here, Lakota people, Lakota Nation, we're standing on. And why are they coming through here? Who gave them the permission to come through the reservation, the Lakota Nation? If they want to go through here or go wherever they want to go, why don't they stay on the state line? There's a state line over there. Why are they afraid to go on a state line? So why don't they tell us what they carry? That's one of the things I would like to know for my supporters. I'd like to ask them, what are they doing on our reservation? There's a state line they can travel on. And they can pay. They don't have to pay $1,000 to wait a station. You know, that's what we should have. Through the reservation, put wait stations on. Whoever's coming through, they have to show a permit. Say, Lakota said I can go through here. You're all Lakotas. Stand up for your rights. We have the greatest foundation in this world. I'm 92 years old. How long more am I going to be saying, this is your foundation, Hagoja protected. I won't be here forever. I'm a generation builder in a nation. So I have a right to say, I'd like to talk to them people. Why are they coming through here? They have no rights. They didn't get no permit. They can't show us no permit. Did they show you any permit that they can come through here?
I didn't even try to talk to them yet. They came straight to Alex.
You have to have...
That was,
very interesting. Like I said, they're trying to sneak it through, you know?
Yeah, a Lakota grandmother who said, hey, wait a minute, you can't do this. It was her, the 93-year-old Lakota woman, who actually got the tribal police out there and got out in the middle of the road and said,
and, you know, good for her. And, you know, it's too bad that at her point in life, she has to worry about something as ridiculous as that. You know?
Well, you know, she said she's a generation builder. And, you know, we have forgotten how to honor our elders and listen to the stories that they have to tell us about. You know, I bet your father could sit down and tell us how things were so much different when Ike was running things and how he worked, you know, in whatever he did, but he had honor and enjoyed what he did. I'm saying that we don't listen to our elders, and our ancient ancestors always had a cosmic vision, which the cosmic vision, what I mean by that, Jack, is that they honored their families, they honored keeping a hold of a community and making sure people were safe, and above all, they would keep a unity with the earth. They didn't desecrate where they lived.
Yeah,
you know, my grandmother used to tell my mom, you don't shit where you eat, right?
Yeah.
But
this
is what corporate America, corporate Western corporate world, or corporate earth has done to the people.
Earth. In their insane need for constant profit, they'll overturn or smash anything in their way, and it's having its very negative effects on our entire society. It really is, and the Supreme Court wants to give these guys even more voice and even more money is free speech. What a bunch of nonsense! And you know what? It's just detrimental to the whole country.
It really is. Hey, listen, I got a one-minute commercial. I think you're going to love this commercial.
Okay, great.
Listen up. This is
okay.
Good. 20 secure phones to assist in staying anonymous? $5,000.
fighting legal cases across 5 countries. $1 million. Upkeep of servers in over 40 countries. $200,000. Donations lost due to banking blockade. $15 million. Added cost due to house arrest. $500,000. Watching the world change as a result of your work. Priceless. There are some people who don't like change. For everyone else, there's WikiLeaks. To find out more about WikiLeaks financial blockade and how to donate, please visit wikileaks.org/support.html.
Great. Is that brand new?
It's been out there for, I think, about a month. But
well, great. I'm very encouraged by that because it means they found a way to get some money in because they were practically, you know, forced out of existence for a while there.
Well, you know, there always seems to be some money. I mean, I can't, you know, I think I'm one of those folks who's pretty much week to week sometimes. It's month to month.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to tell you, I will call up and I will donate $5 to Occupy House.
Every little bit helps.
I will, WikiLeaks, I try to do it once a month. It's just $5, but it means something, you know?
Yeah, right. So, and if 500,000 people do the same thing, that's a sizable chunk of dough.
It really is. And there are plenty of people out there, I think, that basically, Jack, I think we got as much as we really need if we just know how to reach for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I come back to the thing about how incredible the social action is.
Yes.
I think that it's like these Kony 2012 people, Mr. Russell. Now, I don't think they've actually proved that he's done anything fraudulent. I think he might be just guilty of wanting to stick to his own project and screw everything else. And he raised money. He raised money and how he spent it, you know, to make a slick little movie or whatever to get people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, he finally figured out hire the guys who will manipulate people to give money so that you get this accomplished. And that's the old corporate way.
Yeah, and use it against them.
Yeah. The new way is basically the way Occupy has done it. And I certainly do hear very clearly the folks who are saying this is wrong. And I now see the point. I really understand it. It is wrong.
Yeah.
The way we get people's attention is through, I mean, sharing and giving over to folks and blogging and connecting with social networking, you know?
Yeah. Well, sharing is the key, and programs like this and our own individual blogs and our telling our people out in the street and everybody every way we can to spread the word is the only way to go. It's the best way to go at this point in time till we devise something new, even better.
Absolutely.
You know?
It absolutely is.
See, while I'm thinking of that, I wanted to ask you, is there an update on Dusty Taylor's situation?
Dusty's husband actually came around.
That's what I heard.
And
that's the last I heard, yeah.
Yeah, and they're talking about doing surgery on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Oh, good.
And
my God.
Yeah, he's got two blocked, partially blocked and one completely blocked artery.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can do stents. My sister's friend Carol, who was here weekend for last, she's a young gal, too. She's had a couple heart attacks, and they had to put stents in her.
Yeah.
And she's motivating. She's doing it.
Well,
and,
great.
And
it's such good news about Dusty's husband. That's phenomenal.
It
looked like he was gone for
Jerry
sure. It looked like.
Yeah.
Jerry. Yeah.
Well,
right.
They thought he was. I mean, the guy, let me tell you something. This is my experience. You know I'm in the booga booga business. the metaphysical world, this is what I do. My
right.
real job is.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, anybody who goes through as many, he was resuscitated over 20 times.
Isn't that something? He's got to be awful tough.
Well, what happens when something like that happens? Now, I was going to school at Cornell when
mm-hmm.
Raymond Moody was documenting and cataloging what they call the near-death experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the truth is, when you lose, you know, when your electrolytes fade out and you go boom, and they have
mm-hmm.
to resuscitate you, you clinically die.
Right.
And people have experiences. The experiences are generally the same, you know, the
mm-hmm.
light, the whole bit.
Right.
Mr. Taylor has been through quite a phenomenon. He's not through it yet. He still has surgery to go. He comes out the other end of this, and he's
mm-hmm.
very bright now, I understand. And
yeah.
you really can't blame the fellow. He really needs, if you're a praying individual, he needs your
mm-hmm.
prayers. If you
yes.
just, the good energy, the good thoughts,
yep.
whatever
mm-hmm.
you can do. And Dusty Taylor's website is leftwingnutjob.org.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could go over and help out the Taylors,
donate
any
whatever you can
donation.
A small amount, $5, $10,
right.
$50,
all,
whatever you can do.
It all helps. Right now, he's going to have some hellacious prescriptions that have to
oh.
be paid for and things.
Yeah.
So whatever.
And they've still got to meet their necessary monthly obligations. I mean,
right.
they're faced with a terrible situation. They need our
right.
help right now, immediately.
Right. So
yeah, Dusty's website is where you can, there's a thing you can donate to. And I would
right.
strongly urge everybody listening to go there after this program, leftwingnutjob.org, and look for it and donate as generously as you possibly can and spread the word. This poor lady,
yeah.
she's battling bladder cancer herself right now while
yes,
taking care
is.
Of her sick husband
yes.
near death's
she
door
is.
With a heart attack. And her mother died a few months ago. This poor lady, I don't know how she gets through every day, but she does. She's a tough fighter.
She has been in, I've never known Dusty. She hasn't been in some kind of pain. And she manages to crank out some really top of the line sarcasm and awareness
oh, yeah.
about what's going on with the politics in general in this country. And
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Dusty is, and she's a very, she's a maverick. She is.
She is.
You
she's
know,
very outspoken.
Her,
yeah, and
term.
Very determined. Yep, exactly.
Uh-huh. So.
She's an amazing lady, and she doesn't deserve this stuff. That's why we got to help her.
Well, and you know, the husband going through all of this, he will be changed. When he begins
oh, yeah.
to heal. When he begins to heal and come around, there are changes that will begin to unfold in his heart and his mind.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, most people who come through this kind of huge slam,
yeah.
the change is almost always for the better.
Yes.
People realize things they never realized before. So, you know, hey.
Right. And Dusty's got to face chemotherapy and stuff now, too. I mean, it's a precarious situation for that family. And, you know, on any level, it's tough. So we salute her toughness. We want to help her any way we can, and that's why I mentioned it. And I'm glad you mentioned her website. That's where people should go, leftwingnutjob.org, and click on the donate button and see what you can do to help her because she needs it badly right now.
There's a PayPal button there. And,
yep.
Whatever you can do. So Jack, I guess, I mean, we've got 10 minutes, but I think we've had a really wonderful show, don't you?
Yeah, oh, yeah, it's been great. And it's,
do you have any
as
more
usual,
topics
as usual, I've learned something. So.
Is there anything else that you wanted to hit on this week?
Well, it's good to see Rush Limbaugh in retreat, at least temporarily.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he'll take
yeah.
up Doonesbury now and be all over him, you know. But
well,
for now,
and,
at least the guy's been cowering, and he's been putting his tail between his legs, which is exactly where it belongs.
That's true.
Yep.
That is really true. You know, it's really strange. We're talking about the idea of with the small business, the
yeah.
Democratic Party right now putting
mm-hmm.
this push on for, hey, listen, we support the small business and businessman. I have to say, I want to make it real clear that as a small business owner.
Mm-hmm.
not a small business, I have to call myself a little handmade company. I'm
right,
a maker.
Right.
A manufacturer, and I'm a handmade company, and
mm-hmm.
here's the truth on this. I went through the women's, the small business women's, you know, assistance program, and they were, you know what they do? They actually will help you to devise a business plan, and they'll teach you how to fill out forms for a bank to go
mm-hmm.
in and ask for the business loan, and they'll set
right.
this appointment up for you. They do not give you grants. They don't give you money. They
yeah.
send you over, and you present your business plan, and
mm-hmm.
The bank generally will come out and says, we would love to give you this money, and we think you probably have a wonderful plan here, and what equity do you have to back it up? Basically
yeah,
is what
see.
It comes down to.
Sure,
and,
sure.
And it was a big disappointment. I ended up spinning my wheels up in Boston for a year and a half putting
yeah.
all this stuff together. And I resent the fact that Debbie Wasserman Schultz is sitting back and letting people who have small little startups like I do,
mm-hmm.
the idea that the Democratic Party
is going to make your way easy.
Play,
yeah.
yeah, it's a lie. And
I that's too bad. You know, when they first began the Small Business Administration, it was a lot more helpful, I think, and there were a lot less obstacles in the way. But like everything else, it got twisted and perverted over the years, and it's now serving the corporate masters instead of serving the small people. And
do you remember, it was called a thrift. Now it's actually part of went into Bank Boston finally, and then I think it's become Bank of America. But my great-grandfather started in Rochester, New York, with a few other businessmen, thrift. And
mm-hmm.
it was a savings for the community. And people
mm-hmm.
would walk in. I mean, I've got logs. They're logbooks that belong
mm-hmm.
to him that he wrote down notes in. And basically, these journals tell the story of people coming in hat in hand and sitting down and saying, well, Mr. Barry or Mr. Elwinger, I have this idea to create a service that goes around and delivers the groceries, you know,
mm-hmm.
to they still had horses and carts. Okay,
sure.
Running the streets. The rag
mm-hmm.
cart was still on Main Street when they
right.
these guys put this together.
Okay.
And that thrift became Security Trust, a bank, in
wow.
town there locally. And
mm-hmm.
it helped people out business-wise.
Right.
And they didn't ask for equity. They made a plan of paying back
right.
the loan, and people did. And they built, you know, you ever heard of a store called McCurdy's?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Out of that thrift,
okay.
that gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
Likely Luggage,
mm-hmm.
other places like that out of Rochester,
mm-hmm.
New York, you know.
Right. Good.
And this was, I mean, this was done all across the country
yep.
by people who had done well in communities and were passing it on. San Francisco. New York, I mean, that is the impression
yeah.
that the Democratic Party right now is putting out.
We're trying
out
to foster that, right. Well,
yeah,
it's a shame that they're doing that. Now, the only thing I can say, which isn't saying much, but the Republicans are doing absolutely nothing to
nothing.
Foster anything
yeah.
for anybody except big guys. Now, the Democrats can be very well faulted for this misleading fairy tale that they're perpetrating. And but you know what? At least it sparked some controversy here, at least on this show. And hopefully somebody will take the ball and run with it and come up with a better plan that is more akin to the thrift that you described
right.
about earlier.
It's,
you know,
it's true. Yeah. I mean,
now regular banks, we all know how terrible they are. Maybe your credit unions are a better place to go.
Well, maybe credit unions will start to, but when they don't have the backup because too big to fail has
exactly
all cash.
Right,
but,
right.
But you know, when maybe when communities become a little more self-sustaining.
Right,
you know,
right.
Maybe that's the whole. Well, this has been a good show, Jack. Thanks for
yeah,
sharing.
Yeah,
thanks for opening. Thank you.
Yeah,
for
you
your
bet. Absolutely.
Today.
Very
really
good. Yeah, and. And thanks for everybody listening. Remember Dusty Taylor and to help her out any
yeah.
way you can. And keep on blogging, everybody, and keep on commenting and keep on reading. And knowledge is power. Knowledge is key. And it's the only way we're going to defeat this corporate madness, which is absolute madness. It's turned into a malignant, terrible machine. And, you know, it's got to change. It's got to change or get eradicated one way or the other.
It really does. Well, thanks, Jack, and I guess I'll see you next Sunday. I'm not going to be in town. So.
Oh, you won't. Okay, well, good. I hope you have a good time out of town.
Well, it's a well-deserved little sprint of a vacation kind of thing.
Good for you. Good.
So we'll be back a week after.
Great. Look forward to it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And keep
yeah.
on struggling, everybody. Keep on fighting. We are the 99%, all of us. Remember that.
That's the truth. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, Gwen, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Okay. This has been Here Be Monsters. Thank you for listening in. And join us again in another couple of weeks for our Sunday show. Good night.
Good night, everybody.